Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers on another Monday evening. Got a nice crowd on hand here. In fact, they've moved us. We're almost sitting right in the crowd tonight. They've got a little remodeling going on here, and the guy who can talk about that can talk about a number of things. Chris Sabol, the owner and manager here at the Antlers, is with us. And Chris, we usually talk in this point about something you've got going on at the Antlers. Last week, we talked about Thanksgiving dinner. You're going to do that this year for the first time, maybe ever, certainly in a long time.
Since we've been here.
Yeah, certainly. And so Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day. If people don't want to cook, they can come down here and join you.
Yep, we're going to have a turkey buffet from 2 to 6 on Thanksgiving. We're also going to have our Deer Hunters Widows Wine Wednesday, a week from this Wednesday, November 18th, from 6 to 10 p.m. We're doing a free facials from Arbon and, you know, some bonding and bashing of your inconsiderate mate with chicken. We have a grape seed marinated chicken dinner, barefoot wine selections, and a free facial all Wednesday evening. They're going to be doing some Arbon stuff out in the banquet room for any, you know, women that are widows of your fellow, you know, deer hunters. They can come in and enjoy themselves in the evening.
All right, sounds good. That's the 18th.
Wine Wednesday for Deer Hunters Widows is November 18th.
Yeah, good.
6 to 10 p.m.
All right, women only. I mean,
well, you know, if
Damon and I can't come down and get in on the facial,
it might be a good night to, you know,
Roy Forrest might want to get in on that. All right. Well, Chris, anything else we should talk about here for the Antlers tonight? We've got Thanksgiving dinner. We've got facials and all sorts of good things coming up on the 18th.
I think that'll do it.
All right.
Thanks,
good.
Bill.
All right. Chris Sabol joining us. We'll pass that headset over to Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. And Lakers coming off a pretty darn good weekend. When you can go down and play a team that's ranked in the top 20 in the nation and come out with 2 points. You could have won a game, could have lost a game, and be real happy with it. As it turns out, Lakers tied 2 games, 1-1 on Friday, 1-1 on Saturday. Did a very good job defensively. Gordy Dayfield was just outstanding. In fact, I got a bone to pick with the WCHA. I don't understand how you can name a player the defensive player of the week when he gets 2 goals and 2 assists as a defenseman. That makes him a pretty good offensive player of the week, but I wouldn't say he did. How did Casey Nelson do defensively as player of the week for Minnesota State? He's a good hockey player, but Gordy Dayfield stopped 70 of 72 shots in 2 games, 3 breakaways in the first period Saturday night because we were a little loosey-goosey defensively. I thought he was outstanding. It was as good as I've seen him play.
Well, and, you know, Friday night, certainly, you know, I'm sure the Bowling Green team and staff feels like that was a game that they, you know, could have won, should have won, whatever, but he was a difference for sure, and we did some good things as a team around him, in front of him, but he was a difference maker that night, no question about it. And then, you know, Saturday, same thing. He was very strong. And then you mentioned those early saves. Those key saves are so important when they come at the right time and motivate the bench. And yeah, he was a real difference maker. And then that's the Gordy we all know is there and what he's capable of. And I think for us, you know, a little bit of you know, a comfort level and a little bit of a sigh of relief to see him return to form. And, you know, I'm not sure you can get that every weekend from your goaltender, but we expect more of that than the other start. So we're really excited that he had the weekend he did, and, you know, definitely could have been in the running for that player of the week.
Yeah, I would have thought he was nominated. He was it looked like maybe they had him listed second to Nelson, so he was maybe the runner-up for player of the week honors this week. But my goodness, if you're going to have a defensive player of the week, you got to be a defensive player, not a guy who scores 2 goals and gets 4 points playing defense for a team that won a 1 of 2 games. Corey Mackin, by the way, from Ferris State, was named Rookie of the Week. He had 2 assists in the 2 games against Minnesota State. And Tyler Morley from Fairbanks was named Offensive Player of the Week this past week. So neither Bowling Green nor Lake Superior gets a POW this week, but each team got 2 points. Those are 2 points in the standings that are pretty big right now. Lakers get a pick it up a little bit after losing 2 to Huntsville. And I thought we played pretty darn well. I thought a very, very strong effort all the way around.
Well, you know, it really was, you know, and if you start looking at Friday night, you know, we get down there. We've got some injuries we're dealing with, and we're waiting on some word and some guys to return this week, hopefully. But we get down there, and, you know, Bryce Schmidt gets sick Friday morning, and all of a sudden we've got 1 senior in our entire lineup, and, you know, none of our captains, assistant captains are in the lineup, and, you know, that's concerning. You know, you're trying to figure out who you're gonna, not that you get matchups on the road, but you certainly try to, you know, control that as best you can, or, you know, watch your rotation so you're getting some favorable matchups when you can. And, you know, when you sit there and look, and you look at, I think it's one senior, three or four juniors, and that's a little discomforting as a coach. But you know, a real credit to our team, how hard they played and competed. I thought it was a great effort. I thought it was, you know, entertaining hockey games, physical, hard fought, fast. You know, there was good scoring chances on each end. Certainly on Friday they outgraded us, but we turned around Saturday and outgraded them. You saw good goaltending, good scoring chances. I thought it was a spectacular weekend of hockey for our league, for our program, and two hard fought points for sure for a young team.
Yeah, and great crowds both nights. I thought the crowd might have been a little bit bigger Friday night than it was on Saturday, but they made a lot of noise as they always do in that building, and it's a good place for the Lakers, especially with all these young guys in the lineup, to play.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about that building, and you know, it's that low roof, it's the metal roof, and you know, whether it's a wide shot or a little hit, you know, the student section is right next to the bench and right next to our goaltender. So everything seems to be amped up. And we talked a lot about kind of handling the highs and lows, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low. And, you know, we just keep playing and keep coming. And that's a type of environment where that first 6-8 minutes, you want to weather the storm and try to get the crowd out of it. I thought that worked really well Friday night. There was 4 or 5 whistles in the first 2 or 3 minutes, and it, you know, it took their crowd out a little bit. And, but then they score a big goal and they're into it, and we answer right back. And, I thought it was a real chess match and a good game. And, you know, they're a hard matchup with the way they play. They underhandle things, and then they play north quite a bit, and they put a lot of stress on you defensively because they're always setting up foot races and trying to get pucks behind your D. And I thought we were pretty good. I thought we were pretty good overall, and that's the kind of defensive effort we have to have. You know, certainly from Gordy for sure, but even more so Saturday, I thought we limited their grade A's. And, you know, Chris Bergeron made a comment that they had no time in our zone on Saturday, that they were chasing it all night long. And certainly maybe he felt like they weren't as sharp as they wanted to be, but I think a lot of the credit goes to the way we played and our urgency defensively to shut things down and transition to offense.
Well, it seems to me like one of the things Bowling Green tries to do is outskate you. They try to, they stretch pass it. In fact, they iced the puck about 4 times early in the game on Friday night, trying to make long passes down to the other blue line. They try to beat you with their speed. They do have some really speedy players, but so does Lake Superior now, and we matched them up pretty well. I thought we played much better in our own zone on Saturday night than we did Friday. We covered up really well. I was really impressed with Kyle Chatham. We made him one of the 3 stars of the game. He blocked a couple of shots in the overtime. We outshot him 6-1 in the overtime, mainly because Kyle Chatham blocked 2 shots in the overtime that they had point blank.
Well, you know, we, like I said, I thought across the board for the most part, most of our guys played up. We didn't have many or any passengers on the weekend, and that's the way it has to be. You know, Jason Angus went in Friday night for his first game of the year, and I thought he played a very, very strong game on Friday night in particular. And, you know, that's what you ask your guys, take advantage of the opportunity. Kyle Chatham's weekend was his best weekend in a Laker uniform. I thought he was just a different level for him. And, you know, we see a lot of potential in Kyle, and we keep talking to him about getting outside of his comfort zone, you know, realize how good you can be and you know, take some steps and push yourself and get better. And he showed that. So I thought he was very good. Alex Globke, I thought, had his best weekend since we've been there. You know, we weren't here for the freshman year and the big year he had, but I thought it was by far his best weekend with us over the last year and this start. And, you know, that's what we need from Alex and a lot of our guys. So I thought across the board, most of our guys had up games, and the majority of our guys, we had no passengers for the most part all weekend, and that was critical.
Big hero on Saturday night, not a likely hero, but Zach Lesch gets the only goal of the hockey game, his first collegiate goal, and I said at the time, he's the happiest person in this building right now. His parents had come in Saturday just to see him play Saturday night, and he scores his only goal so far in his career, but couldn't have been a bigger one. He tied the game in the second period.
No, I had no idea they were in town, so that's makes the story a little bit sweeter. And we talked about it after the game. We don't recommend waiting to your senior year to score your first goal, but it does make it pretty dramatic and pretty important. And, you know, and give him a lot of credit, Zach, that, you know, he's had some challenges too. You know, we converted him to a forward last year, and he's been in and out a little bit, but I thought he's done a good job taking advantage of his opportunities the last couple of weeks to get a little bit more ice time and in regular spots. He's getting some power play time net front as a big frame. And, you know, he actually grabbed us a week or two ago and said, like, coach, you know, I don't know what it is. In practice, I score. He's got this amazing shot, really an NHL shot and release. And in practice, if you know, some of you get to watch it, he can score. He can shoot the puck. He's got an awesome release. And he just said, like, I don't know why in a game that it doesn't happen. He said, well, you know, quit thinking, shoot the puck, and, you know, don't overhandle it. Just let it go. And that was a little bit of a chance there. He had a chance to kind of walk off the wall, attack the seam, and nobody kind of closed on him. And he showed the shot and release that he has. So a big goal, and great for Zach. What a story.
Yeah, and it is tough. Zach Lesch is a senior. He's out of Minnesota. He's been here 4 years now. He was a defenseman when he first came in out of Pembroke, where he played junior. And, you know, you turn him into a forward last year. And that's not easy to do that. If you've been playing defense most of your life as a hockey player and suddenly you're asked to play forward, he's a good skater. And that's one of the things that helps him a lot there. And one of the things I've been impressed with Zach this year is his attitude's been very, very good. He has maintained a positive attitude throughout everything this year.
Well, you know, and that, I was thinking about that in the drive over. You know, there's a lot of talk of the freshmen, and you look at our score sheet. You know, JT Henke is a sophomore up there, but a first-year guy. And, you know, one thing that you can't measure and doesn't show up, but the culture of our team has been a huge shift, you know, from last year and what I understand in previous years. You know, we had some division in classes, and, you know, from my understanding and what I've heard, we weren't a team. We had some factions and some divisions based upon, you know, classes or age or whatever. And, you know, our seniors in particular, but our upperclassmen have done an unbelievable job changing the culture. We are now a team, and everybody's a part of it. You know, maybe it's a Saturday night, or maybe it's a Monday afternoon, whatever it is, we do things as a team now. And again, my understanding is that wasn't happening a whole lot. And I don't think you can have success if you're not, you know, beat with one kind of heart. And so the culture has changed dramatically from a year ago. And, you know, it's a credit to our captains for sure, our seniors for sure. And again, you don't measure it, you don't see it, but you're seeing it in some of our play. And quite honestly, the young guys who have had a good start here, I don't think they'd have that start if they weren't as welcomed and, you know, encouraged and helped along by upperclassmen. So they're not going to, you know, get a lot of publicity and love for it, but it's been huge for the culture of our team and what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think that shows, too. You look at another guy who scored on Friday night, Josh Nenadol. That was his third goal of the season, and Al Glocke did all the work on that goal. He stole the puck away from their defenseman. He made a great hit to get it loosened up, and then he put it in front, and Nenadol scored. And he scored three goals this season like that. But last year in junior hockey, Josh had two goals all season for Youngstown Phantoms. And he's got three as a Laker, and it's early in the season, yet he's been a real pleasant surprise.
Yeah, that's probably in 60-some games in junior hockey. And, yeah, but getting back to that, like you mentioned Al Globke, his workload last game or this past weekend was tremendous. I've never seen him play as hard, as fast. He took care of pucks. He was heavy on pucks. If you remember, he had two or three rushes that the puck snuck through Nell's arms. You know, could have had two goals on the score sheet. But that goal was just awesome to see Al, and we'll show him in the next day or two. He reloaded. He tracked the puck. He finished his hit, eliminated the guy, made a great pass to Nenadol, and Josh has done a good job. You know, when he gets around the net, he does possess a good shot. You know, I think the way we try to coach and build our team – you know, C.J. Hayes is probably another pretty good example. And their junior teams, they were just kind of slated as third, fourth line, shut down, checking guys. And that's certainly a role we want them to excel in. But we also want to make sure that they understand we want offense from them, and they have the ability and the skill to do that. And they've done a good job showing that. And a lot of credit to Josh and C.J. and those guys chipping in. It's been some secondary scoring that's been very important for us.
Yeah, these guys have done a really good job adapting so far. Hayes has a goal this season as well. So and he's missed a couple of games now with injury. What's the update on that now? What's with Hayes and Cuglietta? Their injuries serious enough they might miss some time this coming weekend, or will they be ready for Friday night?
They're cleared. They're cleared. So we did a little bit of a split group practice today just based on the travel and, you know, a long trip home and trying to get some guys some rest and recovery. Typically, we lift early in the morning, 7 and 8 a.m., but we wanted guys to sleep in, so we did a split group and lift the practice slot. So they're cleared, and, you know, in some ways it's really difficult because there's some really tough decisions coming up as we put lineups together the next couple days, and certainly this weekend. It's a great spot for our team and our depth, and the competition is extremely fierce, and that's a really, really good thing for us. But it is difficult. You know, we talked about Jason Angus went in and did a good job. You know, he wants to stay in for sure. Zach Lesh is playing well. Globke's playing great. You know, so it's going to be really difficult. And I think it's certainly a weekend with non-conference play where, you know, we'll look to get some fresh legs in and some pieces through as long as guys continue to perform in practice. But the discussions are really, really difficult. And again, a good spot to be in for coaches, but it makes it difficult.
Okay, we don't have a player joining us tonight, but Damon and I will be right back in a moment. We're going to take our first break of the night. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers. The Laker Hockey Show continuing into our second segment tonight. We've got a number of questions from fans tonight. We'll get into those in just a second. I want to get back to the team for a second, though, Damon. I thought Scott Patterson played pretty well Friday night, but he got hurt, evidently a little bit of maybe a mild concussion or something. He took a hit there in the third period. He did not dress on Saturday night. That's just another guy who's actually contributing when he's ready to play, when he's healthy. And another one you got to try to work into the lineup when you can. Angus gave you some good minutes this week. Lesh scores a huge goal. These guys are working hard trying to get back in there. Globke, we've already talked about. He probably played his best hockey. He scored a lot of goals his freshman year because he was paired with Danny Radke and Colin Campbell, who helped him out a lot and set him up a lot. But I never saw him work harder than he did the other night.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need from Al and from everybody. And, you know, I talked to him today and, you know, asked him to grade his own game and what he thought about it. He thought he was pretty good. He, you know, B plus. He thought it could have been heavier at times. And I just told him, like, that's the best we've ever seen you play. And that's, you know, that's our expectation every night. You know, you only get so many games and so many opportunities, not just Friday, Saturday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as well. You know, we try to evaluate every day. We have dialogue every morning on our lines and D pairings and starting goaltenders. And then we build practice based on some of that in our power plays and special teams. And, you know, so it's there. And I told him, like, now we know you're able and willing to play 60, 65 minutes hard, smart. And, you know, that's the expectation. And so if you can't meet that, then, you know, we've got to decide if what it is. But, you know, I thought it was an awesome weekend for him. Scott Patterson graded out, I think, as a +5, the way we do our player ratings after game. I thought he had a great Friday night, and he just can't seem to get a break, whether it's injury, illness. But, you know, he's got a great shot, a great stick, and he's just not been able to stay healthy enough one way or the other to be a consistent threat and really get comfortable yet.
Well, the thing with him is goal scoring's at a premium for this team. We struggle to score goals, obviously. You get two goals in two games on a weekend. We got shut out one game with Huntsville. We've been shut out earlier this year. It's a team that's learning to do that sort of thing, learning to win, learning to score. And Scott Patterson's a guy who can score goals. So if we can get him in the lineup and he's healthy, we want him in there.
No, no question. I mean, he was a goal scorer in junior hockey. You know, he's a shooter. He's got a great mentality. He's got a great ability to receive and shoot a puck or one time a puck. And you saw some of those chances on the power play. So, yeah, it's a loss. And, you know, he kind of bounced in, I think, 2 weeks ago, you know, on arguably our top line with Terrell and Holtz. And then this weekend with Hanke and Nellis. And I thought they were really good at the line Friday. And they've got some skill and some skating. And so, yeah, it's a loss. But, you know, it's an opportunity for somebody else. So we'll just keep kind of moving forward. And then continue to figure out our pairings and lines.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it at all, and I think I only mentioned it once on Saturday night, but Al Globke did take a pretty good shot on Friday night in the second period, I think it was, and he was cut for 7 stitches on the forehead, and he was gone for a while, missed a few shifts, came back, played in the third period, and played really well on Saturday night. So, you know, he's a tough guy as well as a guy who adds a lot to us, and we had a couple other players who did pretty well for us, too. Gus Coriale didn't think he was going to play Friday night. He was counting on being the extra forward for Friday night's game. And when Schmidt got sick, Gus got in the lineup. I thought he did really well.
Yeah, and it's always you guys would love to be in the fan sitting here, love to be involved in those moments because all of a sudden you get a word that player might not be able to play. And, you know, we're at the rink. We're about to do our team dynamic and guys are doing the routines. And all of a sudden you're scrambling, like, where's Gus? You got to find Gus. He's still at the hotel. Like, Gus, you know, get over here. What are you doing? And so it's just pure scramble mode. And it's funny, though. Sometimes as a player, like, you know, you got your preparation, but sometimes you get thrown in and you play well. And I thought he handled it extremely well. Sometimes it's not easy when you don't get your normal routine. But he did a good job, you know, hustling over finally and getting right in the lineup and, you know, played well for us. And, you know, he's a very good player for us. And You know, our penalty kill has been very strong. He's a key piece of that as well. So we did a good job.
Yeah, we've got a lot of questions, Damon, tonight from our fans who are here, which is great. A couple of them are kind of tough, but they're questions that have been asked. So I'll ask them, and you answer them as best you can. The first one is an obvious one. Why did the captain of this team, Austin McKay, not travel this past weekend?
Well, there's a combination of reasons there, and you know, like anybody, as part of this team, you're evaluating, and there's an expectation of the way you play, and you know, we're asking a little bit more from Austin in some areas, and I thought today he had a great day of practice, and so that was very positive. But you know, it's competitive, you know, and like I said, you know, we didn't end up having any of our captains or assistant captains in, and I think sometimes when you elect your leaders, they get maybe the wrong focus. They're more worried about the team and having the team ready instead of their own preparation and what they need to do. And I think that's a little bit of the case with him. He's a great leader. You know, we talked about what those guys have done off the ice for this team, and he's a great kid and a great leader. And now we need him to focus a little bit more on his own play and, you know, not let the team slip necessarily, but make sure he's ready to play.
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's a great answer to it. And this one goes right with it. Is the morale staying up on the team members who are not playing right now? There are several, three, four, who haven't played in quite a while, and others who are kind of in and out.
I think everybody's played except for one guy at this point. So I think everybody's at least gotten a little bit of an opportunity. Jason Angus, you know, got his games this weekend after being patient and being good. You know, we've told him for 2 or 3 weeks we thought he practiced at a high level, and you know, he had to kind of wait, and a couple of injuries gave him an opportunity to get in there. So, you know, I think it is. You know, we're always the last to know some of those things, but we try to have a good pulse, and we have what we call a leadership council with our seniors and an elected player from each class. We meet, you know, every couple of weeks there to ask if there's any issues we don't know about, whether it's morale or maybe something away from the rink that, again, we're sometimes the last to know. So I think they're doing a good job. I mean, it's certainly difficult. Everybody works extremely hard and wants to play Friday night. I mean, that's the best part about it, getting the jersey on a Friday night. But, you know, not everybody gets to do that. And so it's a difficult thing at times. And, you know, we try to be honest with guys and let them know where we think they fit in and what they need to work on. And, you know, we have a conversation every time we announce a lineup. And that can be tough, you know, sometimes to hear the same thing. But, yeah, I think they're doing good. You know, guys, the attitude's well. You know, we're playing pretty good hockey. And, you know, I think guys really like being part of this team. We have a very close team this year, and that's been fun to be a part of.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on all those points, too. What injury does Diego Cuglietta have, and how about Hayes? These are not real serious injuries.
Well, I'll probably try to ditch this pretty decently, but dealing with some upper body injuries, you know, and, you know, Diego was great today in practice. You know, for us, he's been a top six forward for us. Mm-hmm. So we go down there without him in our lineup, and, you know, he adds energy. He's one of our better faceoff takers. So we miss him there. We miss him on the power play. We miss him on the penalty kill. So he's played critical minutes for us. And, you know, again, guys coming off a good weekend. We've talked about all the guys we thought played well. So how do you find a way to get Diego? Does he go back in Friday? Do we wait for Saturday and somebody has to maybe have an off night? But there's really tough decisions. But he's a guy that's played in our top six from day one, really, and done a really good job at it. So, you know, we're adding a couple of players back in or have the opportunity to. And CJ Hayes, again, one of probably our best skater. And I think everybody sees the ability to play with pace makes it so difficult. So we missed his skating a little bit this weekend. And you talked about the way Bowling Green skated. I thought CJ would have been a great matchup against their decor with his wide speed. So it's going to be difficult.
What kind of determination does it take to for a player to block a shot and then to get right back up and block more shots? The face mask probably helps there a little bit, but it's a special skill blocking shots.
Well, it is, and I think it again talks about our team morale and where our team is at. You know, these guys care about each other. I think for the most part, we're all in right now. You know, Kyle Chatham had two or three huge ones you mentioned. We showed a clip today, Aiden Wright. I mean, multiple guys had blocks this week, and it was the best we've blocked shots since we've been here. We spent a lot of time on it lately with foam pucks and, you know, post-practice, forwards, D, whatever, and so it's paying off for sure. But it does. It takes just a mindset. You know, we talk all the time about things that take no talent, and certainly shot blocking and hard work and tenacity, those are all things that are part of it. And if you're going to be a successful team, those are things you need. So I thought we were tremendous. Our best weekend since we've been here in shot blocking. And again, it gets to our mindset and where we're kind of heading a little bit, but a couple of guys certainly in particular had outstanding weekends.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting stats that Eddie Bishop gave me today, I think the Lakers are second in the WCHA in shot blocking to Ferris State.
Yeah.
So we blocked the second most shots in the league.
Yeah, I was shocked by that too, again, with, you know, four or five sophomore D or one or two freshman D playing most nights and young forwards. You know, it's not, it takes, you know, it takes a willingness for sure, but it also takes some hockey IQ to be in the right lane, to take good angles. And so we've done a really good job. And it, like I said, anybody who sees us, we've spent a ton of time in practice lately working on it because it was an area that we thought really hurt us against Huntsville.
Well, when does the fall signing period begin? That's coming right up. And do we have any recruits who will sign early here in November?
Well, we hope so. It's this week, so those things will go up pretty quick here. You know, we obviously have a couple of guys who have deferred that are out there still, but we have two guys that you know, for sure we're hoping to sign, and you never quite know. And some of them are having really good years, and so you get a little bit nervous till those are in. But certainly, you know, we hope to have those back later this week or early next week, and get a release done. You know, hopefully midweek next week or at the end of next week.
Okay, we want to remind folks too, we did this on our broadcast over the weekend. They're having a special night for veterans this Friday night. If you're a veteran, either active military or a retired military, and you've got an ID, you get into the game Friday night for free. Your family, your immediate family, that is, wife, kids, etc., husband, kids, get in for half price. And they're having I've never heard of this one before, but it should be really exciting. I'm looking forward to it. They're bowling for a turkey on Saturday night between periods. I can't wait to see what happens there. You'll have to come out between periods and get involved with
take
that.
Take a rip there, yeah.
Yeah. Arizona State, there's a question about the team we're going to play this weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about Arizona State right now. But a question here from one of the fans, what league does it appear Arizona State's most interested in? Is there a league wooing them? NCHC, Big Ten, WCHA, and also the question has two parts to it. Would they be willing to perhaps throw some money into the pot like the Alaska teams do to make it worth traveling there?
Yeah, good questions. And anybody who follows the league knows our representatives were just out there this past weekend spending time with their administration to make a pitch for the WCHA. I think it's early in the process. You know, I think you hear the like-minded phrase, and they're obviously a huge school. I'm not sure geographically and their size, you know, how much of a fit they are, but I think we're certainly an option along with the NCHC. There's talk about the Big Ten as well. The Big Ten's recently added John Hopkins as an affiliate lacrosse member, I believe it is. And, you know, I think there'd be a chance there for them to look at as well. You know, I think they're in a position of power for the subsidy. I don't know that they would have to come to the table with that with three leagues working to get them in. So you know, there's a lot of talk of realignment. You know, every weekend we play somebody, we usually spend a little bit of time as coaching staffs and then just, you know, picking each other's brains and seeing what's going on, and then the realignment comes up constantly. You know, there's challenges with a lot of the different leagues, and I don't think it's too far off where we'll see some more shifts and changes once again to things that make a little bit more sense geographically. So there's a lot of talk out there, and I think this will be one piece of it where they do fall.
Okay, very good. We're going to take a break here in our show tonight. We're at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. It's the Laker Hockey Show. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back at the Antlers, back to live action on the Laker Hockey Show. And boy, this hour flies by in a hurry. Damon and I talk about it all the time, how quickly this goes. Don't forget, you can hear our other talk program on ESPN 1400 at 8:30 this Wednesday morning, and it will be at 8:30 this Wednesday morning. We do about a 20-minute show there, and we'll mostly be talking about the past weekend there and then what's coming up. And what's coming up is Arizona State's coming to town, and I think it'd be very interesting if Arizona State came in and we had the weather we had 1 year ago this coming weekend for them. But most of those kids are from Canada anyway, so they're used to winter. But hopefully it'll be nice this weekend. The Sun Devils come here. First time we've ever played this team. They're brand new to Division I this year, but that's a big school with a lot of money. I don't think it's going to take very long. Arizona State will be a player in Division I.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, they've got a facility issue right now. They've got to kind of figure out. But like you said, there is certainly a wealthy athletic department and some donors to help that along the way. I think, as you mentioned, you bring a kid down from Edmonton or wherever in January, and you know, parade them around that campus, it probably isn't too hard to sell that. So I think they'll do a good job, you know, and I think a lot of those, you know, British Columbia kids, a great area to recruit from. That's a closer trip for mom and dad, an easier flight, and, you know, Alberta as well. So I think they've got some decent talent pipelines. California produces a lot of players, so they'll be the closest team now to California, so easy trips for that high-end talent. And, yeah, I mean, I think they'll have an opportunity to do a real quick build there and a lot to sell.
Yeah, I think they've got a couple of kids in their lineup who played for the Eagles in the past here in Sault Ste. Marie back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, played for the Sioux Eagles. I don't know if they play that much or if they're even going to travel, but I saw a couple of names that I recognized, and I really don't know anything about them other than that. I don't know their coach. He was with the club team, and he's the one who talked the university into going into Division One.
Well, yeah, Greg's, I mean, obviously done a great job building that club team. I mean, they were a powerhouse at that level. And you know, certainly has some important people supporting him to make the move to Division One, and you know, he's been very vocal in trying to help out westward expansion for college hockey, and you know, that's certainly a big goal of what they're trying to do, is get the Pac-12 to get going here and crank up some teams out there. And I think for college hockey, it'd be tremendous to expand that way. So he's been around a long time, and you know, I was recruiting Sunday, so I got back late this afternoon, really, or early afternoon, I guess, and I haven't watched any film yet, but I'll spend a lot of time watching their Wisconsin series. They're coming off a bye week, but we're at Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago, and you know some of their players. They got the Brock Krieger, who spent 4 years at Michigan State. He's a graduate transfer. You know, they have a couple of guys that they were able to get, you know, USHL, North American Hockey League, that I guess I want to be careful I say it, you know, couldn't end up going some places Division One for some various reasons, NCAA-wise, whether it was core courses or whatever. But they've got some good hockey players that a lot of teams wanted to recruit them, and they end up going there, you know, with the rumors of the D1 coming up. And so they do have some good players, and, you know, some players. They beat Alaska early in the year up in Alaska, right, with Alaska exempt from the start date. So they've got one quality win over Division One opponents, and, you know, I'm sure they'll be eager and hungry to try to knock us off.
Good opportunity for our fans to get out and see a lot of our guys play. I think we'll probably play more players in these two games than we might in a WCHA series at this point, because it gives you that luxury of being able to use some extra people.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the plan on paper today. That can change quickly based on how Friday goes, and you know, certainly we want to continue to build and improve, and you know, you've got your special teams to worry about. If you're taking somebody out who's a penalty killer, you know, you might be losing a guy, and you know, want your power play to have some continuity, and our power play's, you know, done some good things. We're improved there, but we've got to get better. You know, I think if we win the special teams battle either night, we get a win on the road. So there's a lot of factors that come in, and at the same time, you know, those guys have worked extremely hard, and you want to reward them, and here's a good chance since you're home and you have your full roster able to go in versus a 22-man travel party. So yeah, so that's the plan, but you know, we'll see how the week goes and how Friday looks as well.
Yeah, special teams this season, the penalty kill's gotten better and better. It's really pretty darn good right now. We've done a good job killing penalties. We did it again this past weekend. We allowed Bowling Green one power play goal in two games, and that one was pretty close to not going in. That was chipped up over Gordy as he dove to his glove side, but you know, that could have been stopped just as easily as a lot of other shots. And then the power play, it's kind of funny. It is not scoring a lot of goals, but it's moving the puck very well. It seems to me it's a matter of time till it starts to score goals.
Well, you know, starting with the penalty kill, the first weekend it was really bad. And, you know, I was really worried about it. You know, and it was all new. Doug came in, and then if you watch the New York Islanders, it's very similar. You know, he spent time, obviously, in the Islanders and Bridgeport system, and they share a lot through the organization. So it was all new to our guys. Obviously, we're pretty young too, so we don't have a lot of experienced players. And my worry was, like, I'm not sure if our guys can handle this NHL system. Like, maybe we're not smart enough and able to execute it. And, you know, now North Dakota had something to do with that for sure as well. But I was really concerned, and I, you know, we were close to really making a major overhaul, and I'm certainly glad we stuck with it, and Doug's done a great job there. He's very detailed, and You know, he's got video everywhere to show the guys and does a really good job building them. We rep it all the time, pre, post practice, for our guys to get their penalty kill routes down. So it's been good. And I think I'd be interested to take that opening weekend out and see what our number's at. So I think it'd be significantly higher, even though it's pretty good. So that's been strong lately. You know, Saturday's power play goal against, you know, we had one guy that was off a read. It was a dead play. It should have been a cleared puck, and we had one guy that played it too soft and didn't get it done. And then, as you mentioned, I still don't know how the puck went in. Our camera is from the other side, so you can't see how the heck it got in there. You know, and power play wise, as you mentioned, we do have, you know, some very skilled guys. You know, I'm waiting for Anthony Nellis to get that one out of the way. Like, he's a goal scorer, and he's had chances. Jake can, same thing. I think when they get the first one and that pressure comes off, it's going to help. I think we get too cute at times for sure, and we need to simplify it and get some pucks there. But we had Josh Hanke had two or three rips. We moved it east-west, had a one-timer, and now got a huge toe on one. They had some open net. So, you know, we're generating some quality looks, but sometimes you just got to simplify it, get it to the net, and we've got to be better. You know, I thought Zach West did a good job going in net front and playing there. Big body. He retrieved pucks well. And again, with Al Globke having his best weekend, I thought Al down low on the power play was really good as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to come. There's no doubt about it. Anthony Nellis, you mentioned him a minute ago. I got it in my notes to bring him up. He had four shots on goal Saturday night alone. Point blankers a couple of times. Some great setups. I think Hanke it was who got it to him. And Anthony, after the game on Saturday, was not real happy with himself. He was angry at him. So he thought he could have won the game for us single-handedly because he had that quality of a chance. But and I told him the same thing you did, that you just said. You're the kind of guy, once you score one, you're going to score 10 in about three games. You know, it's just the way it's going to go because you're getting the chances.
Well, we take that for sure, you know. And the chance, you know, overtime, I talked about Josh Hanke's passing ability, but, man, there's a player I'd love to play with. Like, Hanke made an unbelievable pass to send Nellis all alone in for a tight breakaway, a short breakaway, but Nellis got in all alone. And, you know, he's had some quality chances, and I'm surprised none of them have gone in yet. He has that ability to score goals, and, you know, he knows that's part of the reason why he was brought in here. So there's a little bit of, you know, frustration or gripping the stick a little bit for Anthony at this point. But if he keeps getting four or five shots a night, he'll get it. He'll cash in and get rolling. His habits away from the puck have been better than I anticipated him coming in. I thought he's done a very good job playing physical, playing with pace. He's gotten much better defensively. So I think he's done a good job away from the puck, and hopefully that offense will come soon.
Yeah, that's an exciting line. There's two lines there that they're going to get some, you know, the line with Holtz on it, because Mitch is such a good player with the puck. He sets people up pretty well, too, and Hanke's another one. The with and without it, he's pretty impressive offensively.
Yeah, you know, those lines were good. I thought the Holtz line had a lot of zone possession time with Hand and Terrell. I thought they were really good all weekend. You know, they played maybe close to 3 minutes over the overtime, and, you know, Gage had a chance to win it in overtime. Holtz had a chance to win it in overtime. You know, I think as sophomore juniors, they find a way to bear down a little bit more and finish those, but they're learning, and, you know, it pays huge dividends to get those these guys the minutes and the matchups they're getting as young guys. You know, I think that it's exciting to think about what they're going to be down the road, but we want it right now, so it's hard. You want to be careful with them a little bit, but they've done a good job, and those lines have been important for our team.
There was another really good play in that game on Saturday night. It came, I believe, in regulation. It was in the third period. We had a power play in there, and Hedrick took the puck and went down on the right side in behind the net. It was like a pro play. It came all the way out to the other blue line. Then he walked the line trying to find a shot. He got a seam. He got the shot. The kid blocked it. So you got to give them credit for doing a good job there. But what a play that was by a kid who's 18 years old and really is not always as comfortable as we'd like him to be. And I thought that was a great play.
Well, BG was
he's got skill.
Yeah, I thought BG did a great job blocking shots. You know, and there's some veteran guys up front. Their forwards know how to be in shot lanes. But, you know, Owen Hedrick's a guy I probably should have mentioned as well. We thought he's had his best the last three, four games. Yeah. I mean, he's really getting comfortable and confident at this level. And, you know, again, coming out of the NOJHL and as a true freshman, we knew it would take a little bit of time, but he's settling in very nicely right now.
Yeah, it's very promising. I think this team is going to be a good team here. We're going to take a break. We've got one more segment on the show tonight. No player joining us, no assistant coach. We'll talk about those two guys when we come back to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Monday night at the Antlers, and good crowd on hand again tonight. We've had good support at this show all season long. A lot of good questions tonight from the fans. One of them I didn't get to. It must be an inside question. Somebody wanted to know how your brother's team did at Traverse City. I guess they didn't do real well.
Well, it's a small hockey world, you know. We were obviously down in Bowling Green, and one of my nephews and my brother's son was down there and with my family, but his other boy was up in Traverse City, and they lost to the Sioux team, the Sioux Lakers, in the championship game. So my nephew's a goalie, and it was a 1-0 win for the Sioux team. So I hope he played decently in the 1-0 win, but I heard it was a hard-fought and a good series. So I was driving late last night trying to make my way back. My brother and I talked about 11 o'clock, and he was saying it was a good weekend of hockey in Traverse City. So yeah, a great hockey world.
That's right, it is. And we met him down at Lansing. Is that the young guys who were on the ice that night down at Michigan State?
Well, they were the younger two. The older two were the middle one was playing up in Traverse City. He's got four of them all playing, so it's a busy time for them.
Amazing. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, and we're running out of time here again tonight. We always run out of time here, but the recruiting, anything new there? Rich was on the road all weekend. We did not have Rich Mitro with us down at Bowling Green. Doug Holliva came in off a recruiting trip and got to us on Friday in time to be there for the game. I take it we're working on some things. You just mentioned you were doing some recruiting on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, it was busier than, I thought. I realized, like you mentioned, Doug took off Wednesday, was out Wednesday, Thursday. We covered some good ground, and then he caught up with the team, and Rich was able to stay here to help run practices, and then he headed down. There's a large midget tournament he was able to check out and then pop around to some other games. So, you know, again, we don't need a whole lot, but you obviously want to stay active and involved. And, you know, today there's a lot of the kids being pushed back and decommitment, so you're always kind of trying to watch other commitments now because you never know when that happens. But, we're out mostly looking at the future. If the right players come up to help next year's team, you know, if you can improve your team, you always want to examine it and look at it. You know, we mentioned we anticipate having two NLI signed this week. And, you know, now we're just looking for guys that we feel like are significant upgrades if you had anybody that late in that mix. And then, you know, we can obviously start planning out being so young, having five sophomore defensemen and you know, the huge freshman forward class. We're obviously kind of looking at those younger kids to start replacing those guys and want to pluck off, you know, one or two high-end defensemen to start kind of filling that void.
Anything else we should talk about in the month of November that's going on in the way of promotional activity, et cetera? We've mentioned that it is Veterans Night this Friday, and then we're going to bowl for Turkey on Saturday night. And there are some other things happening, too. Linda mentioned that we have three more, I think, home series between now and Christmas. And if anyone listening is interested in getting a deal on tickets for a party they might be having, a Christmas type gathering, she can certainly talk turkey there as well.
Yeah, well, you know, and I, you know, the Veterans Day, you know, celebration there, Zach Lesh has a big role to play in that. You know, we got good kids, you know, and high character, and Zach is very involved trying to, you know, help with outreach and promote, you know, do all that. So Zach does a good job. Matt McCardle is another guy that, you know, wants to be involved, and, you know, he's been looking for a way to do more in the community. And, you know, he said, I've been kind of looking for some kids, and, you know, we don't have, you know, a cancer unit, anything like that up here. So Matt has put together a little Movember campaign, you know, for men's health, essentially, and prostate cancer. So I'm not a big facial hair guy, and I'm not a long hair guy, but for November, you'll see our guys starting to work on some mustaches. And with that, later this week, Eddie Bishop will have a release on how that is going to work.
Eddie Bishop going to have a mustache?
We'll see if we can get Eddie involved on that.
I don't think he can grow one.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if he can. But they're going to use that to try to get some fans and some family to sponsor, you know, their growing ability. And I believe the ultimate winner will have their mustache shaved at some event. And then even though it's men's health and prostate cancer, anything we can raise will go to that stand with Ciotti and the Ciotti family.
Yeah, that's been a tough one too. Gene Ciotti, of course, I think that's stage 4 cancer at this point. That's very, very difficult. And some of the money from the jersey sales at Pink and the Rink went directly to the Ciotti family to help there. We certainly What can you say? There's not. We all feel terrible about that.
Yeah, I know. And like I said, when it hits close to home like that, you know, like I said, we've got really quality kids in that locker room, and you know, they do a lot, and I love that they want to get more involved in the community. You know, it's something. You know, boy, time-wise, I wish we had the ability to do some more. And if anybody listening has ideas, you know, we do want to make sure we're out there and involved and trying to make an impact around here. So a real credit to those guys, Zach and Matt in particular, but a lot of our guys who do so much around here try to when they can. And, you know, obviously for the Ciotti family, we think about them a lot and keep them in our prayers.
You know, they get along very well, too, this team. They had a card going around that we all signed and sent to the Ciotti family about a week ago. They started that. I get a kick out of them. Well, there's some funny kids on this team, especially young guys. The other day, you know, I don't like to talk out of school on things, but I think I'd be okay with this one. The other day, Cuglietta is not dressed. He's in shorts, and he's working out on his own because he's hurt and he couldn't come out on the ice. And it's killing him, you can tell. He's that kind of guy who wants to play. And he comes out and he's standing along the bench, and Nenadol comes over and he's got an empty water bottle. And he goes, "Hey, could you fill this up?" And he flips it to him.
Do something, right?
Yeah, do something while you're standing here. And I won't tell you what he said, but yeah. it was very. That's how they get it. They're good. They're really acclimated. These freshmen. I mean, I looked down the list today. I think we've got 15 goals out of first-year players when you count JT in there, Hanky as being a first year player. That's pretty darn good production right there.
Yeah, good contributions. And you know, it's funny you brought that up. You know, it's those little moments you remember. I think it might have been Sunday or maybe late Saturday night, one of my old teammates, Brad Fast, who's working at Michigan State, he sent a group text out to about 20 members of our I think it was our old one team there with Ryan Miller, and we won the CCHA. And you know, within 15 minutes, there's 20 guys texting about these old stories, and you know, seeing Coach Mason in some apparel you might not want to see Coach Mason in. But it's those memories that you just you know, you just drop right back into being a 20-year-old in the locker room, and you know, the humor goes downhill pretty quick there. But you know, those are fun times. But we have a good life and a good energy, and you know, guys love being at the rink. You know, I mean, we've got some real hockey junkies who love to be there, and you know you can barely kick them out of the rink and get them out of there. So it's a fun group to be around.
Yeah, they've done a good job. It's a young team, but it's going to be a very good team before this year's over. It's got a great future as well. We're out of time here tonight with the Laker Hockey Show. It goes quickly as usual. Don't forget our other show, Laker Hockey Talk, on Wednesday morning. That's going to be on at 8:30, I guarantee you, this Wednesday morning. And we'll be back your way this Friday and Saturday nights at home against Arizona State. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, thank you, and looking forward to the home weekend. Go Lakers. We'll see everybody Friday night.
All right, thanks to everybody for being here tonight. Thanks to Carl Mason and also to Frank Lissette Engineering, Bill Crawford for the coach, saying so long till next Monday night on the Laker Hockey Show.